my opportunity to introduce, amen, MEA's president and my father-in-law. Amen. I appreciate Brother Eastman, not only as my father-in-law, but as the president. Amen. Let's give him, and I know what he's going to say when he gets up, give it to the Lord, but hey, give honor to whom honor's due. Let's give Brother Eastman a warm welcome. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. We want to say this while Sister Diane is at the organ. She's our secretary here, and she's busy every week in the books and doing all kinds of things and that you don't even know of. She probably puts more time in here than anybody else, and she run out the door. We would have given her a hand, but we really appreciate workers for the Lord. We told them in our meeting yesterday, the pastors, that it takes over 50 workers every single day here on campground when we're having camp meeting to just for it to be presentable as it is. And workers in the kitchen and ministry and people that are doing things, it takes over 50 workers or some certain ones, and you volunteer to do that, do two or three things, some folks do, and we appreciate that. It takes a lot of work in the work of God. Hallelujah. But when we work for the Lord, He's the one, He gives us the pay, don't He? Amen. He blesses us and comes back, and when we do something, lift a hand for the Lord. Says you can't even bring a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord or in the name of a prophet without receiving a reward of a prophet. You're going to receive rewards. Those that bring the water here and put it in the pulpit every day. There's fresh water in here this morning. They're going to be honored. They'll be blessed. They'll be rewarded for what they have done. We do great things for the Lord to do things for Him. I'd like to say this. Pastor was speaking there this morning about we create an atmosphere for supernatural things to happen in. And I remember a meeting a lot of years ago, way back in the early 1960s, really. And I was there, so I remember what I'm telling you took place. There was a revival going on there, and God was working and moving, and they were coming to the end of the night service, whatever night it would be, the service for that evening. The preaching had taken place. They had altar call, and there were, if I can remember right, three men that had to be out on the road, trucking or whatever. They were out on the road working, and they were part of that church, and they came just about when it was ready to have the final prayer and close the service for the night. And they arrived that late, but they said they really wanted to come because they wanted to be in revival, but things had taken them away, and they came in late for that reason. And I remember because I was there, and when they came in, nobody even recognized that they came in, that people were already standing up. When they came in, they didn't slam the door when they come in. We're here. Hey, we're here. And they stood in the back of the church, and when they were having their last praises to the Lord and a closing prayer, they were just there and very, very quiet. As far as I know, they would have to tell you, but I don't think anybody even knew they were there to turn around and see that these three men were there, but they just bowed their heads and just looked to the Lord, and they just very quiet, every one of them. And I was close enough to them. I don't remember them hearing their voices or anything, but their heads were really bowed and worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus came in again. And I want to tell you, they had church all over again, singing, preaching, altar call. They was in the church till 1, 2, 3 in the morning. I don't forget how long. The people were in there, and God met them again, a double portion. Fine. But I was there, so I heard the rest of the story. And I was close enough to one or two of them that they said it this way. When they was out in the road and they were traveling together, they were worshiping the Lord, praising Him, speaking in tongues, singing the songs of Zion, And they were just full of the presence of God when they got into the meeting. And when they come to step in the meeting and stepped into the church, you could feel a change of the whole spirit and presence in that church house. So our presence makes a difference. And we take a spirit everywhere we go. When we talk to our children, when we're in our home, when we're working, when we're wherever we're at, we have some kind of a spirit, a good one or a bad one. And amen. They just had a meeting. Some other, if I can remember, I believe I'm telling the truth. There was some got saved after that first service they really had that night, and that second service, just all kinds of good things happened. Was the other people in the presence of the Lord? I'm sure they were, and because they had a good meeting, but yet there was something special because they had met God before they ever came in, and they had traveled some hours, and I understand they were just looking to God. It wasn't looking to God to be somebody great in a meeting or anything, and not very many people even know that outcome, or what I'm telling you about that, if they were here, but yet, amen, they was in the presence of God. So when you come to the house of the Lord, you comb your hair and tie your shoes and whatever else you do to come to the house of God, you need to do that, but you need to be prepared. When you come to the house of the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord and, again, create an atmosphere for supernatural things to happen in, and it can make a difference. You've been in a room, I'm sure, somewhere, and your back's to the door, maybe in your home or somewhere else, and you sense that somebody else is there. You turn around, there they are. They didn't bang a door or nothing, they're there. Their presence came in to where you were at, and you just knew that they were there. They say the Indians I've heard tell about them that they can sense a presence of somebody, that they're coming up on them in a night or something, and they can sense that without getting a big light out somehow and trying to find and see if somebody's coming or not. And I'll tell you what, the presence of the Lord is that way. Hallelujah. He can come in, and it can make a difference. I mean, you can have your house just all set, just real nice, and just the nicest meal you've had in a long time and everything. And if you're not in the right kind of an attitude or spirit, it just brings a drain in the home. And you know that. So when we come to the house of the Lord, if you notice the Dominicans as they come in, those Dominicans as they come up the aisle, where do they go first? They go right to the altar, or they come on the platform, because we're on the platform, and they kneel down and they begin to pray and look to the Lord. And they do that in that country down there because they are presenting themselves to the Lord. Amen. And I don't know what all they pray there when they're there, but just emptying out and letting the Spirit of the Lord come in so that they will be there and really listen to the Word of God and take part in the service. And I think they set some good examples for us as the children of the Lord. We're in church now. We're not home mowing the lawn. We're not out on the road traveling. And so you've got to collect kind of your thoughts along these lines so that you can, get into the Word of God and do what God wants you to do. One other thing I'd like to say, I like that little song they sang out of Psalms 91, those first two scriptures. I think they're, those two verses, verse 1 and 2, are two of the most, maybe not, I don't know, it, maybe they're not the most important in the Bible, but they're valuable scriptures. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And maybe it don't mean anything to you. You sang it and sounded good, but it's got good truth in there. It says, I'm going to trust in the Lord and Him. I'm going to put my trust and confidence. I had a funeral for somebody that went into eternity last week, and on their deathbed, I read those scriptures to them. When I go in where people are going to be operated on, or on the bed of affliction or whatever, I most often will read those two verses of scripture to them, because I'm going to put my trust in God no matter which way things go, or if the sun shines today or don't. I'm going to put my trust in God. And I think that is a very excellent thing, or scripture rather, that we need to really get a hold of if you don't have a hold of that. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. We're not going to read that today. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 11. I appreciate every one of you loving the Lord and serving God. And amen, we are the children of God today. I want to just say something to you while you're turning there to Romans chapter 12. A question I want to ask you. Would you want every Christian to be exactly like you in the example that you have? Would you want every church member, every child, everyone you come across on your daily activities to be and do exactly like you do? If not, need to make some changes. We're going to talk about that this morning. If you'll stand, I'm going to read at least one verse of Scripture here. Verse 1, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We thank you for the Word of God. Hallelujah. We've heard many messages, and we thank you for this part of God's Word. And we pray, God, Lord, hide us behind the cross. Let the anointing come and break the yokes that have some of us bound for years, and move and work here in our midst today. And we're going to be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah. We as the children of the Lord, amen, we need to gather ourselves together in the house of the Lord. And I want to say this, and then I'll get into the preaching. I said it, I think, last Sunday morning. We can call on the Lord at home or in our car or wherever we are. He's there. But when He said, assemble yourself together, we have to do something. We have to get ready. We have to set aside that time. We have to travel into the house of God. We've got to be prepared to be there. And we're putting forth an effort to come into the presence of God and into the house of God. And God will honor that. Hallelujah. You're here. Maybe you say, well, I didn't enjoy that service too much. But you were in the house of God. Hallelujah. And every time you're in the house of the Lord, God speaks to you one way or another. He speaks through the preaching of the Word, maybe through a song, maybe through a testimony, you know, or somebody's that's sitting next to you, something they might say. God speaks to us something that will help us, not to get out of maybe where we are necessarily, but to help us in the day or the hour to come. And it works that way. Now, He says, I beseech. I want you to really pay attention to this. He's saying here in the first verse, I beseech. I want you to zero in on this. I want you to hear what I have to say when this call came and this word was written here to us. I beseech you, I want every one of you individually to take the Word of God to heart. Sometimes probably you've been in a service and you said, wow, I wish that John would have been here, Jane would have been here. It's exactly what they need, but they weren't there. But you were there. You were in the house of God. Hallelujah. And you get, you go to work. Why do you go to work? So that you can get some pay and so that you can go on until next payday, buys food on the table and etc. In the same way, hallelujah, we go to the house of the Lord, amen, we get the Word of God, hallelujah, that is more valuable than a dollar that we get when we go to work, amen. It's very valuable to us, hallelujah, because it helps us how to conduct our life and what we should do and what we shouldn't do and where we should be and where we shouldn't be, hallelujah. As we hear the Word of God, it will direct us and it feeds our soul. No matter what, hallelujah, we need our soul fed with good things, not bad things. We need to be filled with the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, hallelujah, by the mercies of God, we are here. We could have been gone. We could be out in the world somewhere this morning, but you're found camp meeting and in the house of the Lord. And he said, by the mercies of God, and now he's speaking to you individually, and he is doing that this morning. And he said, and that you, ye means you, that you present your bodies, present your bodies. That's not saying soul and spirit right there. You present your bodies. Some people think God doesn't care anything about the bodies. All he cares about is the soul and the spirit. Well, it's said here, and he's saying it. I'm speaking words, but they're right here. He's saying to us that you present your bodies. Hallelujah, a living sacrifice. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. If you're out in the golf course playing golf this morning and not in the house of God, you're not presenting your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. But you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Hallelujah. Unto a living sacrifice, he said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. So as the children of God, we need to come into this place and this line and remember what I said and ask the question in your life, the life that you live and everything that you've done in the last year or week or day. Amen. You are an example to the whole body of Christ. You're an example to the world out there where you live. Hallelujah. As a Christian, you handle things differently than the sinner will handle things because you're a child of God. But we're to present our body a living sacrifice before God. I tell you, when they brought the sacrifices to God back in the Old Testament time, they had to be prepared to bring them. They had to prepare themselves. I've been over in Israel and where the mosque is in Jerusalem and where they come to worship there. Outside of that, they have a great big huge tank. It's filled with water and it's rounder than it is here. It's much rounder than on the platform here. It's big. And they come and they don't go into the temple until they wash themselves, wash their feet, and cleanse themselves. And then they'll go into their temple to worship as they worship there. Hallelujah. And that's just a thing that they do, that you can see and do in the flesh, we'll say. But yet, it tells us something. They had to be purified to come into the presence of God. When the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, if he was unclean, they say he would drop dead in there, and that would be it. You wouldn't hear any sound in there at all because he is dead. And I'll tell you, hallelujah, when somebody's dead spiritually, there's not any spiritual sound in them. Hallelujah. No, there's no current on the line. Hallelujah. We have little gauges in that we get out there to check the current that's on the line. If a light's not working or something isn't running right, we check the current that's on the line. We have a gauge to do that. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is the gauge to check if there's current flowing through us. The Holy Ghost power is flowing through us. Hallelujah. I've heard about different ones where God used them and they were just really in the presence of God at that particular time and just come up by somebody. And I read it in the Bible. For one example, Peter would go down the street. His shadow would just go down. It was a sunny morning like it is here probably. And his shadow, they would get them close enough to Peter. These people that were lame and sick and maybe never walked and never seen and couldn't hear and who knows what condition they were, and just take them right down the street, that at least the shadow of Peter would touch and they'd walk through the shadow of Peter, and apparently there was many of them getting healed and delivered. Hallelujah. Their eyesight was coming back. The lameness left their body. Their heart started beating right. Hallelujah. The heart specialist was around a lot longer than in our generation. Hallelujah. Where he, amen, was operating and working when they came into the presence of the shadow of Peter. I'll tell you, Jesus is the same today. today, and we're living in this generation, hallelujah, that when we get into the presence with somebody, it should just change the whole thing altogether. I remember a lady was blind. She lived till she was 110 or 115 years old. I forget just now. Lived in a community, lived in a place by herself. There were those that would come in and help her. I've been in her home, and people in the community that whatever, when anything would ever go wrong, they would head for her house to get into her house. And she would be able to say something, or they get into her presence and they just feel like the burden has lifted and the load is taken away, and they would just go their way feeling better. Unsaved people even did that. Times I was in her home and was in there, you could just feel the presence of God there. Hallelujah. It wasn't that the presence of God was in every board and every part of the house and the counter and everything else. Hallelujah. But the presence of God was within it. This blind lady that had, if anybody had a reason to complain, she would, because she was blind for years and years and years. But she would just be smiling all the time, and she would be saying, praise God. And she would go, I don't know how she could do it, but she could go in her kitchen and get you a cup of tea, and you could hear her singing out there just in the presence and the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants us, amen, to have a good kind, hallelujah, of the presence of God with us, hallelujah, wherever we go and whatever we get into. And it's the devil's business to rob us of that and pound us with all kinds of things go wrong and people that come against us and everything else, hallelujah. But we've got to rise above that, hallelujah. Back a couple weeks ago, I was out on the other side of some of these buildings working, there was a storm that was coming in, and we looked up and somebody called our attention and said, there's an eagle flying overhead. You don't see too many eagles. We looked up, there's an eagle, and this eagle just kind of lifted his wings just right, and he came down and he landed on the tallest electric pole that was down here by the water, and he sat way up on the highest place. He was up there in a high place. He could see a lot of things in a high place. When we get closer to Jesus, we can see things we can't see when we're way down in the bottom of the pit somewhere. Hallelujah. We can see the wrong in things. We can see things happening. A vehicle pulled up and they were watching and taking a look at that eagle. And then a storm, we could see a storm brewing and the dark clouds rising in the air and kind of moving up the valley. And I could see that. And we were watching there, and all of a sudden the wind just began to really blow and blow hard. There was somebody looking at electric wires and force. I think it was Brother Jonathan was doing that, and he had to get off of the ladder because it might just blow that ladder over, and the wind was howling. We had to hang on to our hats, and there's that eagle, and all of a sudden in that black time and the wind just really winding right there where you just had to kind of hold on. I'll tell you, all of a sudden, amen, he lifted his wings. Hallelujah. And he just set his wings just right. Hallelujah. And he came off of that electric pole and he just roomed. Hallelujah. And he just set them. I didn't see him flopping them at all. Hallelujah. And he disappeared over the top of that mountain up there. Hallelujah. He was going up into the heights. He was getting up above that. Hallelujah. When things start pushing down on you, you start looking up and calling on God and pressing into the Lord. Hallelujah. And getting into the Spirit. Hallelujah. If the church house isn't open and it's not Sunday morning, don't wait till Sunday morning. You might be clear down to the bottom of the barrel somewhere. Hallelujah. But get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And begin to love Him and worship Him. Amen. And get your eyes upon Him. And get your mind set upon Him. Look unto Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Reach out, hallelujah, to the living God of heaven. Amen. Press in towards that mark. And allow, amen, God to move and to work, hallelujah, in your soul and in your spirit. Hallelujah. That you will be lifted up above, amen, the storm that is sweeping the valley. Hallelujah. Amen. That you'll be looking up to God. Hallelujah. Who is able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according, amen, to that power, He said, that worketh within you. Amen. We've got to have the power of God. Say, well, I got blessed in a meeting, and we go out and we just lose that. Well, sometimes I think a lot of people lose it before they leave the door of the house of God, because they start talking about, amen, doing this and doing that and going here and going there. Hallelujah. We need to keep our minds stayed upon the Lord. I think Sunday's the day when we go to the house of God, we shouldn't be talking about about all kinds of other things when we communicate with one another. Hallelujah. And we probably all do that. I do some of it myself, so I'm guilty. But amen, we ought to be talking about God and the goodness of God and what God is doing and how He's moving and how He's working. In the eyes of the Lord, everything is right and fine and it's okay. Hallelujah. Because we rise up. Why did He take off? That storm could have driven Him in a mountain. No. He set His flight for higher ground. And we need to set our flight for higher ground. Hallelujah. We need to get up on the ground. Hallelujah. It seems like every time they would meet God, they would go up in the mountains in the day of Moses and through the book of Exodus and Genesis and other places. They'd go into the mountain, way up into the mountain. They would meet the Lord up there in the mountain. They would meet Him up there where there wouldn't be things to interfere. Hallelujah. With their life and with their contact with the Lord. They'd get into the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And they would abide in that presence. I'll tell you, we know how to get into the presence of God, but yet, amen, do we know how to abide in the presence of God? Hallelujah. To stay in the presence of God and dwell in the presence of God. God is so good and so merciful. We just get lifted up and lifted up in the presence of God last night, and sometimes maybe you did all that already, and we come the next time into the house of God, or the next day we're just drained out altogether. Hallelujah. One time we can go to church shouting the victory. The next time we go, hallelujah, no, everybody moves over and they don't want to even sit by us. We're just, just a mess. I'll tell you, let's learn how to keep what we got. Hallelujah. Let's learn how to hold on to what we have. Hallelujah. And what God has done for us. Hallelujah. Not let it just get used up and drained out. Say, well, when I do nothing, I just keep all the presence of God. No. Wherever you go, amen, you need the presence of God afresh and anew. Whatever you do, and you're getting fed spiritually, and we're getting fed very well physically here as well over in the cafeteria. Hallelujah. And every day we need something to eat. We have to eat unless we're on a fast. Hallelujah. And as the children of the Lord, we need to eat spiritually. We need to be in the presence of the Most High. We need to follow God. Hallelujah. And I don't want to get away from the fact that as the children of God, are we an example to those all around about us? There's some children that are not serving God because their parents, they know how they live. They know what goes on in the home. They know all actions and deeds of their parents. They know their parents better than anybody else. And because of parents, many times children will walk away from God. I knew a family that had, I think, 6 children, if I can remember right. And the story goes that the husband, he was able to stand in for the pastor. He was able to be an assistant. He was able to get up, and they said he could really preach the Word of God. God would anoint him, and all things were good. When they would go home from church, it said the report come out, had to come out from the children, I guess. But the report come out every Sunday when they went home for dinner. They would sit down and say, boy, the preacher preached too long today. I don't like what he said. Did you see that person over there? And they just run the service down, and they run the preacher down. They'd get up and they'd go to church Sunday night and shout, praise God, glory to God. They'd go home and they'd run down the Sunday night service and run down the preacher's wife, and they would run this down, run that down. He preached too long, and he don't preach very deep, and all kinds of things. Hallelujah. I wonder why, when the children grew up, out of the 6, I think there might have been a couple of them that went on to serve the Lord, but the rest just didn't have anything to do with the Lord. I wonder why. And they would get all upset at finally with that pastor, and they would drive right by the church, and they'd start going down to another church down the road somewhere. And they would go down to that church for a while. Oh, God's really moving in this church. Pretty soon He's not moving in there anymore. And they'd go somewhere else. And then they'd be back to that first church. And then they'd be somewhere else. And they went to and fro because there was no perfect church. I've told people, they say, I'm looking for the perfect church. I said, if you go there, it won't be perfect. Because, amen, every one of us can find some more room to be more perfect, if we want to use that word again here this morning, in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so they're looking for a perfect church, and they didn't find one, and their children just didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Some of those children are dead and gone already now. They're in way up in years now at this present time. Hallelujah. And we wonder why. Because we have to be an example. We have to let our light shine. We need to take a hold of this part of the Word of God. Hallelujah. take a hold of it just like it's come just for you only. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We come to church, hallelujah, to love and worship the Lord and lift the Lord up. I'll tell you, the youngsters watch you. They look at you. Sometimes they, when they go home, they play, you know. And I believe the times when they play, they act like they are you. I just go to church and sit there. Probably they just go and sit somewhere. And they act like you. And we've seen children that they go, even a little one sometimes, they'll get a hold of a baby bottle or something and they'll start putting it up to their mouth, not to drink the milk out of it. But what they are, they just see the preacher with a microphone like this and they just kind of want to be like him. Hallelujah. And it represents a lot. So as a children of God, what we do, if we get up and say, yeah, everybody ought to go to church and we don't go half of the time, those youngsters are looking. The young people are looking and watching. We say, well, a lot of young people aren't serving the Lord. Maybe it's because of us. Maybe it's because of my attitude or your attitude or our direction and that direction and what we say. We need to honor the Lord and lift the Lord up. No wonder he said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And I'm not saying that so you say that about me, but yet I'm saying it because it is the Word of God. When we just, amen, go around and tear up the meeting and tear up, I didn't like that camp meeting and this and that and whatever. It's Jesus working and moving, and human beings are ones that conduct the services and so on, and sometimes they can miss the Lord. Anybody in here that's never missed the Lord, please stand up. Hallelujah. I'd have to sit down. I'm just standing up because I'm preaching. Hallelujah. We've all failed God. We've all missed the mark. And we all can just clean up and brush up. You can get a brand new dress, a brand new suit, but you got to keep it clean. You got to keep it dusted. You got to keep it pressed. You've got, if it's going to stay new, you get new shoes. They just shine, you know, and just a lot of people. And sometimes I'm guilty of that. I never shine them until I have to throw them away. Hallelujah. There's other people that shine them up every day. I wonder why. In the army that they have them shine their shoes all the time, and if they there's a spot in their shoe, they're liable to get who knows what for that. They're going to be in trouble because they got to keep their shoes shine. Well, what does that have to do to, amen, belong in the army? I'll tell you that we have to do things right. We have to do things in order. We've got to do things and take care of things, and nobody else is going to take care of you, only yourself. Hallelujah. And you, hallelujah, have got to do that. Now he says that we present our bodies, hallelujah, a living sacrifice unto God, hallelujah, which is our reasonable service, hallelujah, and that by the mercies of God, we present our bodies to the Lord, hallelujah, and we want to please God in all that we do, hallelujah, everything that we do, we want to please God, and we want to follow the Lord. He said, be not conformed to the world in verse 2, conformed to the world, but amen, to this world, going after the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't go the way of the worldly thinking and the way that the world goes. The world is going further and further and further away from God. If some of the people that have gone on to be with the Lord before us could come back, they'd be shocked of everything that's happening on our earth, in our country that we live in, and all the downfall that's in there. They would be shocked in what they would see even in the house of God. Hallelujah. But we as the children of God, hallelujah, we belong to the Lord, and we need, hallelujah, to follow Him and love and serve Him. Hallelujah. We need to please God in our love and devotion. Hallelujah. We need to please Him in holiness. We need to please Him, hallelujah, with praise and worship. We've come to honor the Lord and lift up Him up. We didn't come to be a show to somebody else, but we've come to lift up the Lord and glorify the Lord and be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We've came for that. We realize that this present world system is not a godly system at all. Hallelujah. But it's full of evil. Hallelujah. And it's under the control of the devil. Hallelujah. All things that's going on. They got all kinds of things. They say they got new dresses. I don't even want to look around and see if I can see any of them because I just don't want to look. But they say that I don't know what. They hard to have anything on, I guess it is. And that's out. Amen, are out there, and there's probably even some church girls going that direction. Amen, and they've got things for men out there too. the devil don't dress people up. He dresses them down and takes things away from them and on and on in the world. And like we like to go with fashions, and people want to go with fashions that are out there. But I'm going to tell you, he said we need to come apart, hallelujah, being a separated people, and love and serve the Lord, hallelujah. Now, I always say this, and I still believe it, what's on the inside shows up on the outside, hallelujah, it'll show up. Hallelujah. If you have a temper, it's going to show up. Hallelujah. Whatever is in the inside is going to show up on the outside. Hallelujah. How we conduct ourselves and what we do will show up on the outside. Hallelujah. And so we find, and we need to realize that this here current world, hallelujah, is under the direction of the devil. Hallelujah. He's worked. He's done. I don't want to honor him in any way, but he has really done a job to get people out of the house of God, away from God, away from holiness, away from the walk with God that they should, getting them away from tithing and everything today, putting the pressure on, draining them spiritually and physically and every other way to drag them down so that it'll hinder the work of God. We know God will work anyhow. Hallelujah. And God, we're going to stay in there, and I believe you are too, and you want to. Hallelujah. God is going to be there, and He will see us through. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to refuse to yield to the pressures of life. Hallelujah. Don't yield to them. Just everything goes wrong. Probably if we had a testimony like this, how many had a whole bunch of different problems and situations that just hit you all at once before you came to camp meeting? Probably a whole lot of you would stand up. You can't believe it. This went out in my car. This happened in the home. This happened on my job. I got this trouble and this ache and pain. It's a devil going to work. And I've learned this. When all of a sudden the pressures are on over and above, I say, uh-oh, God is going to really do something. Something's about to happen Sunday morning in church. Something is going to happen in that revival. Hallelujah. The pressures that came. A lot of pressures came on me before camp meeting. Just, I could tell you a long time. This and that, one thing and another. And I made a statement to a few different ones. I said, God is really going to move in camp meeting. He's about to do something because the devil's on an extra move. Hallelujah. To get our minds off of what God might want to do and get our minds off of God. And we need to wake up to that and realize that when you're having a bad day, something good is right around the corner. Something's about to happen. Something's going to move. Something's going to happen. Hallelujah. And you have everything going wrong and your clock goes off or don't even work on Sunday morning. You just about know this. God's about to do something in the church. Hallelujah. On Sunday morning or Sunday night. Hallelujah. And the devil may not know what God's going to do, but he's nervous and he's out there to hinder and to hold things back and get people down, and so they can't create that kind of an atmosphere for God to work and move in, and God can be our helper. Hallelujah. God can do that. We don't want to yield to things of worldliness that's out there. A lot of people yield to greed, and they're just greedy and in every way. There's all kinds of different things. There's a lot of times in the flesh we get selfish, selfish of one another, selfish of all kinds of things. That's not a godly thing. That's a devilish thing. Hallelujah. And you say about thinking, there's a worldly thinking. Hallelujah. Instead of a heavenly thinking. Hallelujah. And your mind gets off on the worldly things. Of making another dollar or getting something more beautiful than you got or whatever it might be. That's a worldly thing. And we need to get our minds, get a hold of our minds. Hallelujah. And turn them over to God. Hallelujah. That we think godly things, not things that are unvaluable to us. Hallelujah. In the worldly mind, there's just envy. Envy. I've got to have it better than you do. I've got to have something better than you do. I'm going to get it. You've got this new car. I'm way in debt, but I'm going to get a newer one. I'm going to do this. And just envying one another. Wanting something that somebody else has got. A man that came and he visited me one time, and I was out in my garage working, and I had a radio out there that I could get shortwave and everything on, and it was sitting in the corner, and sometimes you listen to certain broadcasters, Christian broadcasts, that's the kind I like to listen to. I don't like to listen to any other kind. And so he came to see me a little bit, and he wasn't there 5 minutes or 10, and he said, I have to go, and he went. And pretty soon that day or the next day, my phone rings, and he said to me, Reverend, I said, yes. He said, that radio you got in your garage, it's on a northwestern corner of your garage, and it's got shortwave on it and police calls on it, and AM and FM, I guess it is, and it's just, it's got all kinds of different things on it. He said, boy, that's a pretty nice radio. I'd really like to have it. He said, by the way, Reverend, doesn't it say something in the Word of God that you shouldn't covet your brother's, what radio and whatever he's got? I said, yeah, it does say that. Well, I guess that's the way it is. Thank you, Reverend. And he hung up the phone. He wanted my radio. Hallelujah. He coveted it. Hallelujah. And he loved the Lord and so on. He was a good fellow that way. But he was honest about it. But a lot would call you and they wouldn't be honest about it. I thought, how could he? He didn't even get very close to that radio. How did he know every positive thing on it? I don't know. But he was just drawn right to it. Hallelujah. And so we don't want to envy. That's a worldly thing. Just envying this and that. Getting into the spiritual realm. Well, they thought they could sing last night. They should have gave me a chance to sing. They should have gave me a chance. He thought he really preached last night. He should have given me a chance to preach. Now we're talking to preachers for a minute, but amen. And whoever, it can bother preachers as well as anyone else, can just envy different things and different people, and pastors can envy this and that and one thing and another. You can envy something else, like the children to come home and say, I wish I could go over and live over at my friend's house. They just have everything so nice over there. If they went over there to live, there would be problems over there. Hallelujah. And so we're not to be envying. Hallelujah. That is a worldly yielding that we have, people have today. And a lot of times people want a revenge. They want to get even with somebody. I've heard some of that come out of Christians sometimes. I will get even with them. I remember a story about a man. I knew that man. He worked on a job. He was faithful, apparently, and he'd done his work well, and he was due for a good promotion with a good raise in his salary. He was due up for that, and there was another employee that just run him down. He told the others that were over him how bad he was, just lied and lied and lied about him because he wanted that job. And he got the job, and that other man that I'm talking about, he did not get the job. He lost that position because of the lies of that other one. And he made a statement that I heard some from the same place of work came by, and I heard it through them. And he made the statement. He said, I'll tell you what, there's going to come a day. He's a hunter, and he said, there's going to come a day, I'll meet him in the woods, and that will be it. That tells me something that I don't like to hear. He said, that will be it. I don't know how long it'll take. I've never heard of anything happening yet, but he said, however long it takes, he had revenge on him, and he said, I will get even. Hey, as Christians, we have to watch that. Hallelujah. So-and-so didn't speak to me. I'm not speaking to them anymore. I'll tell you, they did this to me. Just wait. Just wait. I'm going to get even with them. Let's watch it. Be careful. That's worldly. Amen. Thinking. That's worldly way to do things. Hallelujah. Do good to them to despitefully use you. Hallelujah. You can do that. I tell people, if your neighbor is trying to take a piece of your property and he's giving you a bad time, bake him a strawberry pie or something. Bake him a nice big cake. Don't put poison in it either. Hallelujah. And you take it over to them. And they don't know how to respond to that. They don't know what to do. They just don't do. They don't know which way to turn. There's been people that they just don't know. There was one fellow that came one time and seen me and called me outside of the church. He was going to tear me apart. He was a strong fella, going to rip me apart. And I think he had a shirt off or his t-shirt. And I mean, he was just ready to pound me, and I was just kind to him. We'll be praying for you, or whatever. And he just was walking around, and he says, I can't stand this. Hallelujah. And he got a shirt, and away he went. Well, I was just being, as a Christian, I didn't just rise up and swing up my fist then and go. Hallelujah. But, amen, I did it, I think, right at that time. At least I'm still alive in here. Come on, hallelujah. God can do those kind of things. Hallelujah. And He can work. But we as the children of the Lord, hallelujah, we got to be careful, hallelujah, having revenge. If that preacher preaches tonight, I'm walking out of this place. Come on. Hallelujah. You can destroy many, many others. Hallelujah. And it's not a godly way for us to be. We need to look at that, being not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. And when we are looking at that again today, hallelujah, we do not, as a people of God, want to be impure. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when we're saved, we need to be pure. We shouldn't be people that curse and swear every other word. Come on, we shouldn't be people to have a bottle of wine sitting in a refrigerator somewhere. Hallelujah. We need to have purity. We need to have purity in our thought life. We need to have purity, hallelujah, in what we do and where we go. Hallelujah, as the children of God, because the world does those kind of things. We talk about filthy language. Hallelujah. When you're a child of God, hallelujah, your language should be different. I had a cousin that he could not say a sentence without having two or three or four swear words in it. And he just swore more in a sentence than he said anything else in the sentence. And he did that for years and years. He was in a service. I don't know if he picked it up there or what. But I'm telling you, just the fire of cursing and swearing would come out of his mouth. I'll tell you, he'd curse at his wife and children and anybody and everybody. And I didn't see him for several years. And I was able to go by then one time where he was and lived, and I decided to stop to see him. And when I stopped to see him, he was out in the fields and farming, and he was out there cutting hay or doing something. Hallelujah. And his wife had stopped to do something, and so he spoke to his wife. And when he spoke to her and said, I need this or something, right away, I begin to think. My brother was with me, and we begin to think. We didn't hear him use any kind of a curse word when he spoke to his wife. We didn't hear anything. We didn't say anything, and he shut down his machinery and invited us into his house for a cold drink of soda or something that he had there, water. And we went into the house, and we did not hear one single filthy word coming out of his mouth. We listened and we watched. And we found out something happened from the last time we seen him several years before that until this time that we was meeting now with him. Hallelujah. He went to the house of God, and he had given his heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you and I as Christians, we shouldn't even have one single word out there kind of leans over in that way of cursing and swearing. They think they're really tough. The more I curse, the tougher I am. Hallelujah. No. It takes a real man to live for God. It takes a real woman to live for God. It isn't just the weaklings serving God. Hallelujah. It takes a real person to be living for God and able to put aside the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. And lay them aside. Hallelujah. And live for God and live a holy life before the Lord. It's not the weak and, amen, the weak-minded people that are living for God. Hallelujah. But it's people, amen, that are strong. They don't have to go out there to the world to drink, or, amen, out there to do this or that or whatever in order to make it any further. Hallelujah. But we can call on the Lord when we get heavy. Come on to me, ye that are heavy laden. Hallelujah. And I'll give you rest. We come to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord gives us the strength to make it through, that we don't have to have anything the world has to offer to make it through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we as the children of God, hallelujah, need to do away with those kind of things. things up. Hallelujah. As the children of God, when He says that we give our bodies a living sacrifice to God, not conformed to the world, hallelujah, we need to watch our entertainment. What kind of an entertainment do we have? What are we doing in our extra time? Where are we going? What are we doing? Hallelujah. You better be careful of your world entertainment. Hallelujah. To go into certain places and do whatever. Hallelujah. My mother-in-law years ago, it'd be Brother Larson's mother, and was my mother-in-law. She had a birthday. And, you know, she's just a little lady, about 4'8", and had a birthday. And one of her daughters, a couple of them, decided to take Mama out for a nice dinner because it's her birthday. And she had raised, I think, 11 children, and she was up in years now. And that's nice to want to take Mother out for a birthday dinner. And they took her out to a nice restaurant for birthday. And she's sitting in the back seat and pretty small, but you could see out the window, okay? They stopped, and she said, "Are we going in here?" And they said, "Yeah, we're going to buy you a nice dinner today, Mother, and we just want to do that." And she says, "I'm not going in there." "Well, why aren't you going in there?" "It's a bar." They said, "It's not any bar, Mother. It's a restaurant. It's not a bar." Said, "It is to a bar." "Why do you say that?" Says, "Right on the window, bar." "Mama, that says salad bar. They have salad. There is no liquor in it." "I don't care. I'm not going in there. Take me home." They had to take her home without any birthday dinner. Hallelujah. I mean, I'd rather see somebody like that. Amen. It says, boy, I wish that didn't say salad bar. I wished it would said another kind of a bar. Come on. Hallelujah. Some might say it like that. But I mean, was she far out? I don't think she was far out. Hallelujah. She wanted, amen, to do things right in every way. She just wanted to do it right. Hallelujah. And we ought to be children of God that we, you know, hey, I'm going to do this or this kind of an entertainment. Hey, is it wrong? Should I be there? Shouldn't I be there? Some people don't make it to church on Sunday. They go to car races. Some people, amen, go to golf courses. They go places, you know, and when they should be putting God first in their life and going into the house of God. Hallelujah. If they go, that's up to them. After, they have to choose that, what they're going to do in their life. Hallelujah. They might want to throw a ball or do whatever they might want to do. But I'm going to tell you, we don't want these worldly kind of things to rob us from God. Hallelujah. But as the children of the Lord, we need to be in the house of God. I've heard some people tell me, "You just want to go to church all the time." Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. In the house of God. When I give my heart to Jesus, long time ago, back in 1953, I gave my heart to Jesus. When I give my heart to the Lord, I started right away. I won't just tell you all things that happened, but I left my worldly friends, hallelujah, that I had. Didn't have any Christian friends. And I give my heart to Jesus on a Sunday morning. Nobody told me to do this, but I was back in church on Sunday night. And I was there on Wednesday, and I was there in youth rallies, and I was there whenever church went on. I was there in revivals, I was just there. I give myself to the Lord. Hallelujah. And when the doors opened up, I was in the house of God. Hallelujah. And I wanted to serve the Lord. I did have one battle. Hallelujah. I said, "Lord, I love you, and I'm going to give you every day of my life but Saturday." Why did you say, "Uh-oh"? Trouble. Not Saturday. Saturday evening, I mean, I work 6 days a week, and Saturday evening, now, Lord, it's time I need to go see my in-laws or my relatives, and I need to just keep that day for myself. Well, it was pretty quiet, and I didn't feel real good when I prayed like that. Didn't hear any answers or anything. I didn't feel the presence of the Lord. But anyway, I let the Lord know. Saturday's my day. I mean, any time. I'll go to church every night, but not Saturday. That's my day. Some of you are looking at me like you've done something like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about it a little bit. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me. Hallelujah. And He said, "I want Saturday night too." Finally, He did speak to me. But nope, not giving you Saturday night. So don't you know, we went down the road a few weeks or months, had a revival in the church. And they dared to have a Saturday night service. And that is my night. to do what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
It's my night. Why can't the Lord hear us? What's the matter? 6 days a week give Him, and now He wants the other one. I don't care. So I talked another friend I had in church, another man friend, him and his wife, my wife and I, said, wow, we've been going to church all week, Saturday night, let's go out and have dinner and do ride around a little bit or something. And they said, yes. One church member can take another church member down the wrong road. We went out. I don't know my friend why he did it, but he drove kind of by the church. And I had to look at it with all the cars out front and everything. It was the terriblest night I ever had, I think. I didn't have no fun. The food wasn't any good. It was just terrible. Needless to say, I didn't miss any more Saturday nights. Hallelujah. Oh, church. We got to put the Lord first in our life. Hallelujah. The Lord first. So from that time to this day, I don't like it. When if I have to miss service somewhere, I don't. I like to get out. I don't all the time when other churches are having revivals, but I do my best. I hope I'm doing my best to make as many services there as I can. And I want to be in the house, Lord, when the door is open. Hallelujah. Some say, my, you got to drive this far and do this and that, and it's late, and or snowing out. I just want to be in church. Hallelujah. My heart's in the house of God. Hallelujah. I just want to be there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't think that's wrong. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. I've went out, and I'm not telling you to do this. I've went out in ice storms. Got to go to the house of God. Want to go to the house of God. Say, well, they got a tornado warning in the area. Should we have church tonight? It's pretty hard for me to say, well, maybe we better not. Sometimes we had it anyhow. Hallelujah. Because I just want to be in the house of God. Want to be there. Be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not expert maybe some of all these areas, but I need to be. We need to pick up every one of us. Hallelujah. And get going for the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We need to live, before the Lord. We need to, hallelujah, just stay away from these different things. We need to be careful of worldly companions. If you're not going to be conformed to the world and you're going to put your mind on the Lord, that's right. It's okay to have friends. Jesus ate with the publicans and sinners. Come on. They called Him a wino. They called Him different things because He would stop and He would communicate with them and He let them know that He cared about them and He loved them. He did that. But He didn't travel with them all the time and go everywhere and go to another party and things like that. He didn't do things like that. But hallelujah, He befriended them. He was there for them. Say, well, you can have a friend at work that is non-Christian, but you're not going to go to the bar with him all the time. You're not going to be running off to some wild party somewhere with him. You're not going to do it. And one thing we need as Christians, we need to have right kind of friends. We need to have them. Young people, older people do too. You don't want to go somewhere where somebody murmurs and complains all the time. You don't want to spend a lot of time with them. You can let them know God loves them and you can shake their hand at the door and everything, but you don't want to travel with people like that. Hallelujah, because it'll get a hold of you. I'm going to tell you what, carry a skunk around in your trunk and you'll smell like a skunk after a while. Hallelujah. Are you out there? It just will. It just rubs off on you and you'll just kind of get like they are, and on we can go. So we need our minds conformed, hallelujah, before the Lord. Let me finish this. We have to stop here just in a moment. We do because of our time here. But it said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He can renew our mind. As a child of God, we need to continually, God, renew my mind. Get my mind thinking up the right direction instead of down the end of the wrong direction. Hallelujah. That you might prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you'll be able to prove that. That you'll be able to prove it again. I'm going to read it. The good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So as the children of God, again, I give you the question that I gave you at the start and spoke at once in between. What would you want every Christian to do? Would you want every Christian to do exactly like you do and live like you do? Treat their wife like you do, or your husband, or your children, or the people at work, or whatever. Cheat on income tax and anything and everything. Would you say, I could stand up today and I could ask any of you if you want to follow me anywhere you want to go, you may do that. And anything that I do, I know that it would be okay in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We need that kind of a lifestyle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Not no jumping, shouting kind of a sermon, but God, down in our heart, as the children of God, hallelujah, we're the light of the world, God, hallelujah. And Lord God, we're your children, and help us, God, this morning, hallelujah, to abide in you and you in us, and God, to walk uprightly before you. Probably nobody in here has can't say they never heard anything like this in the Word before, but probably we have. But God, we have it refreshed in there today that we'll live according to the Word of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen.